أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وروح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. By the grace of Allah, we've come to the end of our 12-day session. We thank Allah for the blessing He extended to us, and He allowed us to discuss the teachings of Quran and Sunnah and the opportunity to prepare for the return of the Imam of the time. So we thank Him for this opportunity. Tonight we're going to discuss one more part of this wonderful story. What we've been doing over these nights has been to discuss the story of Surah Yusuf. And we've been following this story and watching where this noble prophet went, what he did, and drawing lessons and inspirations from the verses of the Holy Quran. We get now to an important part in the stage of Hazrat Yusuf. There's going to be a big change in his life. This is the stage where Yusuf alayhi salam is now sold into slavery to the Aziz. What we learn from the tafsir is that the Aziz is the second most powerful man in Egypt. A different stage of Yusuf's life begins now. He reached the stage, the lowest of the low, where he's in the well, sold into slavery by his own brothers, but now he's in the household of the second most powerful man in Egypt. This individual, once he purchased Yusuf, he has some words, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded these words in history. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرِ لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ. The man from Egypt who had bought him said to his wife, give him an honorable place in the household. عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. Maybe he'll be useful for us, or maybe we'll adopt him as a son. Now, it's obvious that the Aziz was blown away by the character of Yusuf alayhi salam. We see in his words, he says that telling his wife, she's a princess, she's the wife of the second most powerful man in Egypt, you personally take care of this new slave. You personally guarantee he's honored in our household. She says that not only that, perhaps we will benefit from him. More than that, perhaps he will inherit us and become part of our family. We'll take him as a son. Normally, the president, the prime minister, doesn't take this kind of notice of the help. We're talking about the second in charge, the person who's the second most powerful man in Egypt. There's slaves coming in and out all the time. Slave girls, slave boys are coming in. The help, that's there. We don't normally see that the leader of the country or the vice president is taking this kind of concern when it comes to a slave. On the first meeting with the slave, to tell his wife, you personally, as the princess, take care of him. Maybe we'll take him as a son. Why was this the case? It's more than Yusuf's good looks. Although Yusuf, alayhi salam, was very good looking. But even good looks are not enough for someone to say that I'm going on the first meeting, I'm bringing this guy into the house and then saying, please, I prepare to take this guy as the son and the inheritor of the entire household. A normal person won't do that. But Yusuf alayhi salam was extremely good looking. We have in the hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, "U'tiya Yusuf shatr al-husn wa nisf al-akhar libaqi an-nas." Yusuf alayhi salam had half of the beauty of the people of the entire world. And the rest, the second half, was decided amongst all of the other human beings. So everybody in your mind who's attractive, who's beautiful, everybody else all together on one side and Yusuf on the other. So he was extremely good looking. But it was more than that. When he's talking about adopting Yusuf and taking him as a son, it's because of his character, to the extent that for them, when they're talking to this 9-year-old, according to our hadith, this 9-year-old, it's like you're talking to a sage. So dignified, so wise, understanding, in one meeting, the head of the country saying, "We don't have a child in our home. There's no one to inherit me. Let's take this young man to be the inheritor, to be our son." The other thing that's interesting is that his wife, normally, if she's the princess, she's the queen, she'll be arrogant. "What do you mean? Tell this me to take care of a slave? Slaves serve us. Honor him, make sure he has a good time." But she says, you don't see any protest in the verses of the Holy Quran where she is, no, why is this the case? She also was blown away by this, the character of this young boy. Now, for us, because we look for inspiration from these verses, we're looking to become the elite soldiers of the Imam of the time. There's one point, even now in the verse, we can get, but I must warn you, brothers and sisters, this is different than Western culture. We're resisting. We're the Islamic resistance against the devious and deviant way of life, the irreligious and godless way of life that's here in the West. We're supposed to be beacons of light, guiding others to the right way. The lesson that we get, the first lesson that comes to mind, is that for us, our character is much more important than our appearance. Although in the West, yes, it's true, many times others value people based on their money, their position, their job, what others think of them. But for us as Muslims, no. Most important, and we want to make sure not only are we like this, but also we judge others on this, taqwa. How much taqwa does the person have? Ilm. Jihad fi sabilillah. How much sacrifice does the person offer? That's for us what's important, not their appearance. So we've been tasked with the heavy responsibility of preparing the world for the return of our Imam through our actions. As it says in the hadith, he says, وَكُونُوا دُعَاتًا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ بِغَيْرِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ. Call people to yourselves without your tongue. Your character shines so great in this darkness that others are drawn to you. وَكُونُوا زَيْنًا وَلَا تَكُونُوا شَيْنًا. Be a source of beauty for us, and don't be a source of shame for us. So the Aziz was very much impressed with these characteristics of Yusuf. He saw this, and as we said, that's inspiration for us. But because we look at each one of these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each part of the story, looking for answers, inspiration, way that we should live our lives, even from the words of the Aziz, we can get lessons. The Aziz says some things over here, and for us as believers, we want to get points from his story too, his part of the story. Let's look at his words again. He says, "Asa an yanfa'ana aw natakhidhahu walada." Maybe he will benefit us, or we will take him as a son. Another lesson that we can get from this is that although the Aziz was blown away by the character of Yusuf, although Yusuf was the most handsome person on the face of the earth, he had never seen anyone like Yusuf. Although Yusuf was someone, when you talk to him, it was like you're talking to a sage, Even at that stage, he doesn't say, definitely, we will take Yusuf to be our son. He says, maybe. Maybe we'll benefit from him. Maybe we'll take him as a son. He was a wise man, given to deliberation. He didn't rush and make snap decisions. And we learn that from the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, the idea that trusting others, taking them as companions, giving them all of our secrets without testing them is actually something that we've been warned about. What Amir al-Mu'mineen says is, "Atma'nina ila kulli ahad qabla al-ikhtibar ajz." He says, trusting anybody and everybody before testing them is actually weakness. So we're supposed to be like that, not suspicious of others, but we test them. The same way that the Aziz, although he saw wonderful characteristics, he took his time. Let's get to know him. Let's see what he's about. Yes, he's very impressive. Yes, I've never seen anybody like him. Let's get to know him. Once I heard a story of one of the shuhada. The person who's narrating the story is his brother, his little brother. So the bigger brother is the commander on the entire base. The little brother is serving under his brother. He says that one of our friends, I see him and his face is very upset, one of my friends. I said, what happened? He said that your noble brother, your wonderful brother, won't pay any attention to us. It's been 2 days now. I've been going to the office, the tent, the headquarters, wherever he is, trying to get time to see him. And for 2 days, he's not paying any attention. He's not inviting me in. So the little brother, when he heard that, he said, I was furious. My friend, we're all from the same neighborhood. He went in and he said that I ignored the protocol. There's protocol. I mean, he's your brother, but he's the commander of the base. First you go, you get permission. He said, I didn't pay any attention to that. I walked right into the office of my brother. Salaamu alaikum. And I started to explain. He said the name of the brother. Fulan, such and such. What's the matter with such and such? He's been coming out here, spending days out here. He's a good guy, a veteran. He was in the university before. Give him a chance, talk to him, take some time, spend some time with him. He said, his brother said, wa alaykum as-salam. He said, what? What's the rush? What happened? He said, he's been here. He's 2 days, you know. He said, you know what I'm doing? I'm testing him. I want to see if he's like you, if he has a hair trigger temper. Really? Why? He said, because I want to give him a heavy responsibility. If he's not sabur, he's not patient, he'll fail when I give him this task. I need somebody who's patient. So I'm testing him, let him come 1-2 days. I don't pay that much attention to him. Then we'll give him responsibility. So not trusting immediately, rather getting to know people. It's a good thing, and we see that in the character of the Aziz. First I'll get to know you, and then I'll bring you close. Another lesson that we get from the words of the Aziz, the character of the Aziz, is this. If we conduct a pathology test on why it is we commit sins and make mistakes, I'll start with myself. Why is it that in my life I see there's times where sins that I shouldn't be committing, I'm committing. Mistakes that I shouldn't be making, I'm making. If I'm careful, if I look carefully at myself, I'll see a big part of the reason is haste. Ajala, haste. I'm hasty. And because sometimes it might be my inner disposition, I'm the kind of person given to making snap decisions without considering all the factors that are at my disposal, without considering everything, I'm like that. Sometimes, no. It's not that I always rush. The problem is others pressure me. They give me a deadline. Sometimes deliberately. Get me to make a decision before I'm ready. Won't let me think about it. I need an answer right now. And when I'm put in those situations, I don't have time to deliberate. Part of the reason I make major mistakes is this.
If I had all the time in the world to consider the problem, the good, the bad, the day of judgment, problems, issues, how to handle the problem, I would deal with it in a different way. But because I'm under pressure, I make mistakes. Because I'm given to being hasty, I make big mistakes. What we learn from the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt is that this characteristic of the Aziz is actually something we want to adopt. We want to adopt this from the time we're young, that we don't make snap decisions. Let me read you the hadith. This is from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, Al-anatu min Allah wal-ajala min ash-shaytan. Deliberation, being deliberate, this is from Allah. And being hasty, snap decisions, not considering all the possibilities, not covering all my bases, this is actually from shaitan. What we learn from ahadith of Ahlul Bayt is that the wise person doesn't promise immediately. People come to you, they need something, problems, issues. Brother, can you do this for me? I need an answer right now. Actually, what we learn from ahadith of Ahlul Bayt is that the wise person, they see, if I promise, will I be able to deliver? My word is heavy. First, I'll see, is the ground shaky? Can I do this? The ground's ready for me to do this? More than that. So when I promise others, even before I speak, take my time, think about it. We learn from the Urafa. They say, don't rush to give answers. Don't rush to give answers. First do istighfar. If we have taqwa, Allah will teach us. Allah will open up gates for us. Allah will take away the blinders for ours. Let's take this as a practice. That instead of answering immediately, giving an immediate answer, I don't have to say dhikr out loud. A lot of times it's good if my dhikr is silent. Nobody knows. But internally, before I'm answering, istighfar. Oh Allah, forgive me. Tawakkul. And then I answer. So first I consider, sometimes I won't give an answer immediately. Sometimes I'll tell you, brother, let me think about it. Give me a chance. What I'm trying to do is to develop my character in such a way that part of my character is I won't allow myself to be rushed. Even if others are in a big hurry, thank you, jazakum Allah khairan, I've realized the seriousness of the situation, but a snap decision before I've thought about it, before I've considered it, no. Give me a little while, let me think about it, I'll come to a conclusion. What we learn sometimes, again, because we're put in situations where sometimes there's takalif which we may miss, sins which we may commit, mistakes which we may make. One advice that we get sometimes is if I can consider the possibilities. For instance, there's a situation I think may be coming. I may be put in a situation I'll have to make a snap decision. If I can think about it before I get into that situation. I'm seeing you for the first time. I thought ahead of time, maybe you would get in the situation. I've thought about possible solutions, bounce things around. Then I come to you and then I give an answer. But the idea of being patient, not being rushed, not like making others rush us. There is an exception though. There is an exception. It's not that the believer is always deliberate and always slow about things. No. What we find is that once I've considered the issue, once I realize what my responsibility is, what my taklif is, what I need to do, the opportunity for me now to serve Allah, to express that wilayah of Allah, which I carry as a believer, at this time is a time for me to act quickly. This is what Amir al-Mu'mineen says. He says that being deliberate is mamduha. He said it's praiseworthy. It's recommended that you like that. Fi kulli shay, in everything, illa fi furas al-khayr. So it's wonderful for me to be deliberate, to think, to ponder, to make a careful decision, except once it's become clear for me what my responsibility is. There's a good opportunity for me now. Now we can serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this stage, no. Now that I realize what I'm supposed to do, now I act. So what the thought process coming to a conclusion, that took time. Once I realized my responsibility, I don't want to lose the opportunity to serve. There's a brother or sister who needs help. I've thought about it. I have my affairs under control. My responsibility is there. This is the opportunity to give back now. I don't want to be someone, Allah takes away the tawfiq of helping another brother and sister because I've delayed. So patience up until it becomes clear. Once it becomes clear, then I want to act. One last point that we get from this particular verse is that Yusuf alayhi salam, we're talking about his character, how his character was so attractive, so impressive, that the next in line in the government takes notice of him. One beautiful thing about the story of Hazrat Yusuf is that he shows these wonderful akhlaqi traits, this superior moral character, under adverse circumstances. A foreigner, a slave, taken away from my parents, a 9-year-old, entering into a new household, right? Everything going against you. There his character shows. And that's what we need to be like. What happens sometimes for religious and practicing brothers and sisters who are living in lands which are non-Islamic, because there's already a tendency to be opposed to the powers that be. They are aware of the corruption in the system, aware of the oppression that goes on outside. Sometimes a tendency can be this: I become bitter towards the system. I'm bitter about being here. I already think others won't give me a chance. I'm aware of the racism in the system, for instance. So I'm already kind of a bitter person in that way. The wonderful character which I have doesn't come out because of my disposition. I think the odds are stacked against me. I'm going to go for a job interview, but I'm going to have to refuse to shake hands, for instance. I go in there, for instance, as a guy, I've got a beard. I'm brownish, for instance. Not everybody's white, right? Not everybody's white. I'm brownish. I look Middle Eastern. For instance, I'm a sister, I'm wearing the hijab. Sometimes what happens is I automatically think the odds are stacked against me. I'm a little bit bitter. That wonderful character which should be shining through, the excellence that each and every one of us believers must have. Every opportunity that we're presented, every good opportunity, we make the most of that. We take pride in what we do. We're better than the rest, despite the disadvantages. Sometimes this can not show up. But what we learn from a hadith of Ahlul Bayt, again, it's a reinforcement of the same lesson we saw in this verse. In this verse, what happened? Yusuf alayhi salam is in a situation which the odds are stacked against him. Normally, as a penniless foreigner going into the land and the kingdom of a powerful dignitary, you don't have a chance. Who are you? Who would they know you? What? At that stage, his character shined. Let's look into the words of Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This is in the khutbah of the muttaqeen, the God-wary. He's describing the traits of the God-wary. For the soldiers of the Imam of the time, all of us want to listen carefully to the words of Amirul Mu'mineen. How does he describe how we should be? And I start with myself. This is what he says. Fizzalazali waqur. That the believer, the muttaqi, when it comes to earthquakes, the believer's dignified. In earthquakes. I don't mean a literal earthquake, the earth is moving up and down. In social upheavals, in situations which are uncomfortable, when the odds are stacked against the believer, when others are faltering, when others are scared, when others are worried, The believer's dignified. Waqur. He continues. He says, وَفِي الْمَكَارِهِ صَبُورٍ. In trying times, difficult times, that's incidentally when you see the sabr of the mu'min. The believer is sabur, patient, not stressed, figure out the situation, put up with those difficulties, continue to move forward. He also talks about the good times. What's the believer like when times are going well? Alhamdulillah, money in my pocket, wealthy, successful, ease, plenty. What at that time? وَفِي الرَّخَاءِ شَكُور. At those times, when everything's going well, it doesn't make the believer, that ni'mah from Allah, doesn't make the believer heedless of his Lord. At that stage, when everything's going well, we're normal people, regular people, those who are not among the muttaqeen, now they start to get impressed with themselves. Look at me, watch me. Little bump in their step when they walk, right? It's going good. At this stage, the believer is shakur, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in difficult times, character shows in that way. In the good times, again, the believer, grateful, conscious of God, wary. And believe me, brothers and sisters, these things are not fables. These stories that we hear about the character of Yusuf alayhi salam, this wasn't a story, oh, alhamdulillah, but he was a prophet of God. What about you and I? These things aren't fables. This is what they expect from us. This is what the Imam of the time, as he's watching our gathering tonight, this is what he expects from us. This kind of character. And believe me, brothers and sisters, there have been mu'mineen who've had these characteristics. There's a verse of the Holy Quran. I say this as a reminder for myself. It's in Surah 33 and verse number 23. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهد الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. Among the faithful are men who fulfill what they have pledged to Allah. Some of them have fulfilled their pledge. Some of them have passed away. There were mu'mineen before us. Inshallah, mu'mineen after us. Some of them have fulfilled their pledge. They've gone back to Allah. They kept true with that promise. They lived up those expectations that Allah had from them. And some of them are those who wait, you and I. Some of them are those who await. Mu'mineen, alive, awaiting the return of the Imam, fulfilling that covenant that Allah had taken from us. He says, وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And these individuals, they haven't changed in the least. The same values of Quran and Sunnah, a hadith of Ahlul Bayt, that they learned, those stories that they heard about the previous prophets, the ulam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. That these people have heard these stories, these values, and they honor them. They live with them. They believe in these things. Let me give you one story. One story. This is again one of the shuhada. One of the shuhada. His name is Mahdi Baqiri. He was a very young man. Very young man. And he was given the responsibility of a battalion, of a group of mu'mineen. He's the commander of that base, for instance. But he's very young. He came out of the university, very young man. So he went to a particular area to where the warehouses were to check on the warehouses. Young man checking on the warehouses. Over there, the person who was responsible was a man named Hajj Amrullah. Hajj Amrullah sees there's a young man. He's moving around. He's walking around checking out the warehouses. He says, young man, come over here. You don't just walk around. You're not doing anything. You have to be like the rest. You have to work. You got that, young man? Okay, there's these bags over here. Come and help. Mahdi Baqiri, the commander of the entire base, doesn't say anything. He starts to go and he's helping. Let's say there's a truck of them. He's taking them out. Now what Hajj Amrullah didn't know at this time, He didn't know. He didn't know that his own commander. He didn't know. He's a young man. He didn't know he'd been shot in the shoulder. He's injured. Still, he's over there and he's taking, moving the bags, helping. Right? But he's suffering because he was working so hard that Hajar Amrullah is watching this. This one Basiji, man, this guy is impressive. After that, another member of the Revolutionary Guard came. He had to deliver a report to Hajar Amrullah, came to deliver the report. He said, I don't know, man. There's this one new Basiji. Look at this guy. This guy works. He's strong. He's good. I don't know which department he's in, but tell whoever is in charge of him, I want this guy to come over here. He said, who? That guy over there. You see him? He's like 2-3 Basijis. This guy's. The guy looks over. It's Mehdi Baqiri, the commander of the base. He runs over, helps him. Sorry, brother. He said, you didn't recognize this? This is Mehdi Baqiri. He comes over to the man. He says, brother, Hajar Amrullah, I'm just one of the Basij. Kisses them on his face. So these values, the idea of our character shining even under difficult circumstances. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The idea of our character showing even under difficult circumstances, this is part and parcel of what the Ahlul Bayt expect from us. And we can do this. These examples, these stories that we heard in Quran and Sunnah aren't things for history. They're things for us to practice and implement right now. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the tawfiq that so far we're able to discuss these verses of the Holy Quran. And we ask that Allah accept what was said and heard in His way. I would like to mention a few points about our session here. First of all, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also you guys for having me as a guest. I really enjoyed my time here. It was a wonderful opportunity to spend with you guys a few days. It had been a long time since I've been here. I really enjoyed myself. The second thing is that since it's been almost 3 years since I was here with you guys before, I've noticed a lot of improvements. And that also is an area for me to thank Allah and also appreciate all of those who are involved. Not that any of you need praise from anybody like me. No, I'm doing my responsibility. But alhamdulillah, for those people who had the tawfiq to be volunteers, and especially when nobody notices, you're doing something, standing out in the cold, welcoming brothers and sisters in, staying after the majlis, cleaning up after the zawar of the imam, the shia of the imam of the time. All of these things are tawfiq. So I congratulate you all on this tawfiq that Allah has given you, and I ask that Allah doesn't take this tawfiq away from any of us. Inshallah, Allah allows all of us to have the tawfiq of serving in His cause. May Allah forgive the believers, the mu'mineen, mu'minat, ulama, maraja, and especially the leader. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.